Hello, friends. Brett here. On today's show, there's a monster in our bathroom. Dogs and kids running together. A 50-year-old promise kept. And let's have a party for a donkey. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bell.
I'm pushing the button now.
Wow.
We don't have very much battery power.
Okay.
So
we better talk fast.
Yep. Well, there we go.
Welcome to the 90-second podcast.
This will be like when you did one by yourself.
How dare you?
Are we still talking podcast?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fired one up. That's right. And I end up shooting blanks. But...
Hey, you started
more about this. The podcast. Hi, I'm Brett Weaver. You're listening to Two Beers In. If this thing ends, we'll just do a scratch mark and put more batteries in the container. We're a podcast that talks about delicious drinks and positive news.
Or is it positive drinks and delicious news?
I like all of this.
Okay, great. I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I am enjoying a dank neem sour. What are you having?
I am Brett Weaver, and I'm enjoying a gin and tonic with a splash of Angostura bitters. Doug, what are you having?
And I'm Doug Fels, and I'm having a frozen Carajillo, or for the terminally white like I am, a frozen Carajillo.
It's a coffee shake.
Yeah, it's a coffee
it's
shake.
It's a granita.
That's really what it
is.
It's a $10 coffee shake in a thimble-sized cup.
That's right. So we've got four stories that we'll be talking about today. And in fact, I'm going to post this on Friday.
What?
Yes, not on Monday. I'm going to post it on Friday for reasons which will be explained later.
I think I know the reasons.
You probably do.
Yep.
You're very smart.
I can catch on that.
You're very smart. So let's start with the first story.
Okay.
The first story is a stunned couple finds 14th century medieval gargoyle, easy for me to say, hidden behind their toilet, which, honestly, EK probably thinks that every night when I go into the bathroom.
Has there been a gargoyle in here?
Yeah. Christ. A British couple was left stunned. Stunned, I tell you. When they found a medieval gargoyle hidden inside their bathroom. Let me explain.
Please.
So there is this this house that they moved into. It's a rental. And there was another family that had lived there for many, many years. But before that, if I remember correctly, if I'm reading correctly, it was a monastery at one time. This goes back many, many years. So, let me read. The experts at the Lincoln Cathedral believe that the ghoulish figure forms a part of a historical drainage system. See, you brought me Target batteries.
Target batteries.
These are Kirkland batteries.
Okay.
Let's see if that works.
All right.
But like we were saying.
Yes.
This amazing thing.
I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
I shouted up to my wife and I said, I found a thing.
So this house goes back to the 14th century, and what they did was there was this nice little sink area, and they moved the thing out of the way, and suddenly there's this gargoyle, which will be on the website. This gargoyle in the, it's a visual, it's an audio medium.
Wow.
And so they think it's part of a whole drainage system. It's just kind of one of those amazing things that they're like, don't you ever wish that you would, I mean, like I'm in a mid-century house. What would be the thing that I would find
a Philco TV.
I would love a Philco TV. That would be fantastic. I have a Zenith World Radio that's in it's in the thing.
I had a girlfriend who lived in Sam Houston's old house in Chirino, Texas, east of Nacogdoches.
Yeah.
And we went into the wall and found newspapers from 1867 used as insulation.
I don't doubt it.
It was very interesting. Yeah,
sure.
And then I lived in the Holcomb house off of by the medical center in Houston, and we didn't really find anything because that place...
Yeah, it was so old that there was a well in the living room.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like an actual well in the middle of the living room.
You know, and here in Austin, there was the house, what was the name of the place? It was that restaurant that was right by Zilker Park, and now they've got condos around it.
The Pagy House.
Pagy House,
Pagy's house.
And there was a well in it, and you could look down, and they had lighting down there.
Nice.
It's the one thing. I mean, I know it's positive, but it made me so sad when they closed that place down because I love that place.
Yeah.
Well, and if you go to Joel Osteen's house, of course, you find money in the walls.
That's like, true.
Yeah.
As insulation, I'm sure.
Yeah, because that's all he needs. But it's really cool. There's a this goes back to the 14th century, and houses to the south and west of the Minster in 1887 first recorded the carvings as grotesque mask, which forms the drain.
Well, grotesque was another name for gargoyle.
Oh.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're called grotesques.
Uh-huh. And they're like, hey, it's a living.
That's right. Why? That's right. We serve a purpose.
Yeah.
That purpose is to channel water away from the walls of the building so that they stand longer.
You know, I think a few fetishes were born of that time when people were basically peeing in the mouths of these grotesques, and they're like, huh, I think I've discovered something in myself.
Absolutely no jokes here. Moving on.
Do you know the origin of gargoyles?
No.
They date back to a town in France called Rouen, and there's a legend there about a saint who came to kill a dragon, Saint Romanus, which was creating a lot of trouble. You know, it was, you know, it was destroying the crops and flooding the city and would kill and eat citizens. Bad stuff. So Saint Romanus went out into the countryside and made the sign of a cross, which pacified the dragon. And then he took his bishop's stole and wrapped it around the neck of the dragon, led it into town, where the townspeople burned it at the stake.
Well,
are we sure it was?
You know what? I'm on the side of the dragon now.
Yeah.
Because that's a dick move.
Well.
The dragon's like, all right, okay. Well, y'all are cool?
Making lots of trouble, though. But the head wouldn't burn. So they cut the head off. They kept the head, stuck it on the cathedral as a warning to other dragons. And it served as a gutter spout.
And there aren't any dragons anymore,
So weird thing in Old French, dragon and dachshund are the same word.
Even weirder, gargoyle in Old French is another word for throat. Thus the term to gargle.
Interesting.
And Rouen? It's where Joan of Arc was burned at the stake. So these people apparently have just one solution.
They dig them burnings.
Apparently so.
Another weird thing, it's where barbecue comes from.
What?
That's right.
That's right.
That's absolutely
right.
No
scales this time.
Yeah.
Okay? Just the meat.
I'd like it medium rare. Wrong town.
No.
Move along.
Yeah, keep going. Okay, here's another story. I love this story. PE coach pairs unmotivated students with dogs. So
running after them, making them. I'll just read. All right.
Not one French dachshund.
No. Nope. I don't know. Hold on. A California gym coach who was looking for ways to drum up motivation for the students on his cross country team, as they went away for the summer break, came up with a brilliant idea. Pair them with dogs, which to me is such a great idea. So specifically shelter dogs.
Oh, I was going to say, what if they don't have any dogs?
Yeah, it was 8 years ago when GNN first reported on it. And ever since, it's become a mainstay of the training program at St. Joseph High School in Santa Maria, California.
Wow.
It became so much more, however, after a simple video of the kids running with the dogs went viral, causing athletic directors around the country to phone St. Joseph and ask, well, how did you organize this program? Which, really, that's a five-minute conversation. Please, tell us of your...
Yes, yeah.
I went to the shelter. I got dogs. I gave them to the kids. And I said, go run.
Go run. Go run.
All right. Once more, slower.
Yeah.
How did this...
Yeah. And he's like, wait, you didn't have to... No, the kids were like, yeah, I want to run with the dogs.
Yeah. Plus, it's good for the dogs, too. They're out and about. They're feeling that sunshine.
Working off that energy.
Yeah.
And there's a third thing.
What?
The third thing is it caused those dogs to get adopted quicker.
Well, of course.
Yeah. So
that's a win-win-win.
So it went cross-country Steinbrenner High School in Lutz, Florida, was the second school that picked out the shelter dog runs, and others followed suit, like Rock Island High School in Illinois, all because the viral video that occasionally resurfaces on social media to the delight of thousands.
Well, sure.
Yeah. It was 60 seconds of genuine organic kindness.
Oh.
So, yeah. Perfect marriage. And then they talk about, you know, there's some kids that went, and in the video it led to an iconic moment when they
interviewed the dogs.
Yep, the dogs. The dogs were. No, Father, that is an egret.
Yes. Right.
In the video, a high schooler comes walking by the camera with a small dog named Fred and remarked, Fred's got it. No, Fred's had it. Sorry.
Oh, Fred's
had it. As it turns out, the young man and his family decided to adopt Fred, the first of many such unions since the school, the program's launch, some which Escobar says is what he's most proud of. So, yeah.
Yay.
I love organic solutions.
Yeah.
That's like no think tanks, no just some guy goes, you know what? How do I get these kids to run more?
Let's sick dogs on them.
I mentioned this at work today, and one of my coworkers was saying, yeah, I was in the long distance team, cross country team.
Right.
She said the way they did it with us was they took us 2 miles outside of town and said, all right, I'll see you when you get back in.
You want lunch? Run back.
Yeah, and I was like, so you were back in, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes? She's like, yeah, 2 hours.
2 hours for 2 miles?
It's like, y'all didn't win, did you? You didn't. She goes, no.
These days, kids would just call up an Uber after that
drop-off. Taxi!
Go to the Starbucks and then look at their watches and go, yeah, okay. And then come back.
And then do a TikTok.
Throw some water all over themselves and make them look like they're sweaty.
Then do a TikTok about it.
Yeah.
Everybody floss.
All right, moving along because we don't know how long this battery is going to last.
All right.
a teacher promised his 1978 class of an eclipse party.
We're revisiting the eclipse, Doug.
Yeah,
we have to. It's
just another good eclipse story.
It is.
Well, I mean, as soon as ours was done, I said to my uncle, hey, same place, 2045?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, okay.
All right, let me
might
make sure.
Might have to bring my urn.
Let me do this correctly.
All the year was 1978.
Ooh.
Prime Minister Aldo Moro had been kidnapped in Italy. The U.S. senatorial proceedings were broadcast on the radio for the first time, and Patrick Moriarty was teaching his high school science class about solar eclipse. Explaining their trajectories, the path of totality, and other such details, the class took a look at which upcoming eclipses would pass over their hometown of Rochester, New York.
Oh, boy.
Ah.
Hey, circle that one on April 8th, 2024, Moriarty recalled, telling his students, we're going to get together for that. The years went by, the Berlin Wall fell, the dot-com bubble crashed, the stock market, the U.S. elected a black man to be president, social media embedded itself there in our lives, and then suddenly, Moriarty was looking at the calendar and said, oh, 2022. He always used to tell
to buckle down.
Yeah. He used to tell his students that he'd take out an ad in the newspaper, but since people don't really do newspapers anymore.
I'll telegraph you.
Yes. I promise. I'll send
smoke signals.
Smoke signals. I'll send a union.
Yeah. I think he's doing a semaphore, but does anybody know what that means?
You know what he did? He did something even more archaic. He set up a Facebook group to track down some of his old students and see if his promise meant as much to them as it did to him. But he didn't expect after 40 to 50 years on, as one might imagine.
Right.
But the group soon circulated amongst former students who kept up connections, and hundreds expressed interest in the event. Soon plans took shape. And Moriarty hired a local pizzeria to cater the event and brought 130 pairs of eclipse glasses.
How many students did this man have?
Well, I mean, over 40 years. It wasn't like he quit in 1978.
Yeah, that's
true.
Okay,
this is multiple years. Got it.
So, so the students came from all over the country with children and life stories and 45 years of life experiences to share. So I love the jokes. The jokes were great. They're dad jokes.
Yes.
They're great dad jokes. The jokes were many. Huh, you seem taller, said one. This has got to be the longest homework assignment ever, said another.
Yeah, I love that one.
In the hour before the eclipse, Moriarty was back in class teaching the variety of middle-aged students exactly as he once did about the science behind the eclipse. Eventually, the moon passed over the sun.
Or did it?
Oh, wow. We're going to go back to the sun.
No.
No, it's the other way.
See previous episode.
Yeah. But even this spectacular stargazing event couldn't eclipse the incomprehensible moment shared between strangers who were nevertheless bound by an almost 50-year joke.
That's tremendous.
When teachers go into education, they hope that they can find that kind of teacher or be that kind of teacher that would have an impact on people and make a difference for people. Moriarty, 68, told the Washington Post. And this event right here just firmed up for me. I guess that I did okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God he offed Sherlock Holmes.
I mean, otherwise he'd be... What if he died before then?
I know. That. No.
Eclipse wake.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do this. That's such a good story.
It is. It
we
is.
We can have Bernie's eclipse.
Yeah. They just have his ashes. They have his ashes.
Pop up Professor Moriarty here. Yeah. Maybe if he felt the impending Grim Reaper approaching, he would have made a video and said, "All right, now students,
everybody,
one last lesson. Here's what's going to happen."
And he would say, "Start the video at a certain time so that it reaches."
Yes.
Somehow, I feel that like 10 times as many Americans know what Weekend at Bernie's is, who have actually seen the film.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think they could have found, the article could have found better examples of stuff happening in 1978.
I thought it was pretty good. I like that it was nice and obscure to where we're like, I don't know what that
is. So totally obscure.
But you know what? Somebody.
How drunk was I in 1978?
That's a 2%er joke. We just need to be okay with it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Maybe we didn't get it.
Well, no. I know I didn't kidnap the Italian prime minister. So.
Sure you did. You were alive during then.
I was, but it was like 10.
10.
I was pretty busy in graduate school.
That's right. That's right. All right. Final story is something local that's going on. So weekend, we're recording this on, the day after Earth Day.
Yes.
But this weekend here in Austin, there's a thing that started back in 1964, and it's continued on today called...
Who was kidnapped in 1964?
Funny.
Paul McCartney.
Yep.
Madeline Murray over
here. I buried Paul. That's right.
Madeline Murray O'Hare.
From right here.
Right here.
That's right.
We're in the right location for that story.
America's most hated woman.
Yep. Christopher Hitchens, he really tried to beat that one out. So this weekend, there's a weird Austin festival happening. This is one of the things that kind of makes Austin weird.
Yeah.
I think it's just a holdover still for what makes Austin weird. So the Austin Festival celebrated the gloomy donkey from A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh. Gosh. Winnie the Pooh series.
Words are in that drink.
I don't know.
Words are hard.
So Eeyore's birthday party is this weekend.
Oh.
Yes.
Eeyore.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
Well, so it's time to get weird.
Okay.
The capital city's beloved Eeyore's birthday party is returning to Pease District Park, which is right near the University of Texas, down a hill and right by a creek.
That's very Milne.
For its 59th celebration this Saturday, April 27th, which is, if you're listening to this when I release it, I'm releasing it on Friday instead of Monday, just so you can get this. You have time to travel from one of the two places that you're from.
Or from 1832, which is where your MapQuest directions are from.
Yep, that's absolutely right. The capital city.
Down a
hill. Well, it's just, I'm saying that's it. Right. Anyway. Stop it, Doug. Yes, the ER we're talking about is the pessimistic, often gloomy donkey seen in Winnie the Pooh. And the whole reason this thing happened was because two students decided they were really reading Winnie the Pooh while they were in college, and they were like, you know, we think the only reason why Eeyore was unhappy is because he never had a birthday party.
Aww.
So you know what? Let's it's a reason to get out during the spring. Let's go have a birthday party for Eeyore.
It's a reason to skip school and get high.
Yes.
Okay.
But this is 1964. It's right. It's only 5 years before people really started getting high, right?
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm seeing a stuffed donkey, I'm high.
Yeah, that's true. It was decided they would reserve the last Friday in April to head out to Eastwood's Neighborhood Park. That's what it was called back then. To celebrate this uncelebrated donkey. Really, who can say no to throwing a party for a melancholy donkey who doesn't know it's his birthday? So 57 years later, this event continues to keep Austin weird. The park is even home to a bronze statue that commemorates its festivities. And now there's a troll that's in there. There's a big old wooden troll that someone built that's in there, too.
In
so
Pease Park.
Yes. So the whole idea of, like, it's a hippie place. This is very hippie. It's still a family event during the day.
Okay.
I mean, they say that no drugs are allowed there. They're drugs there. But you got your drum circles. You got your acoustic instruments.
Yeah.
You got your people in costumes.
Yeah.
You've got your people in states of undress.
Uh-huh.
You got all of that.
You got your handkerchief dresses and your bandanas. And,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Bandana, G-strings, and, you know. Mm-hmm. If you are a person like me who is maybe not part of the culture, but really enjoys observing the culture, this is the thing to go do.
In the 21 years that I've lived in Austin, I have not yet been to Eeyore's birthday party.
Monica!
I know. Maybe this is the year.
This might be the year.
This might be the year.
Yeah.
I'll be the one in the handkerchief dress.
Yes. And I'll be the one at the drum circle getting really aggravated because we have the same beat that they keep playing over and over again.
That's right. No, it's on the 1 and 3.
No, it's like, wait, let me see if I can remember what that beat is. Boom, 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 boom And if you ever try to move the group to a different beat, they will look at you like, no, this is the beat. This is the only beat that exists. Because I was part of a drum group for many years, and we would play all different types of things. But then we would go to bigger drum groups, drum circles, and I would be like, I am done. I don't want to play the same damn beat every single time.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah. So, like I said, come on. I mean, Doug, I know you're going to hump the...
What? What?
Absolutely.
What? Yes. What?
Doug, explain what hump is.
Okay, so hump is an interesting thing, and it's basically a artistic pornography exhibition thing set by Dan Savage of Seattle fame. And he has submissions brought in, and if they're interesting and artistic, he puts them together in a film festival, and you go and sit for about 90 minutes, and you laugh your butt off, and you go, huh, interesting lighting and stuff like that. And it really is a fun time. It's a very strange and weird time, but it's a lot of fun, and I've been to, I think, four of them now.
And yes, there's porn.
It is porn.
Where is this happening? Porn.
It's here in Austin for the first time since before the pandemic.
Okay. Where was it during before the pandemic?
It was all on the West Coast.
Here in Austin, yeah.
Oh, it was at the Iron something or whatever.
The Iron Bear?
No.
That's it, awesome. Right, the Iron Front.
Right across from where the shelter is downtown, there's a venue there. I can't remember what the name of the venue is called, but it's right across from the shelter there.
Yeah.
And the very first one I went to was actually at a bar out east of that.
Okay.
And it was really fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. That was the one where I got stood up because the girl I was supposed to go with got married that day.
Well, sure.
I can't go see porn with you.
So I'm getting married.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's a great example. We gotta say it like Eeyore. I can't go see porn with you.
I'm getting married.
Oh, no. She just told me she couldn't find babysitters. And it was Brett who told me, hey, Christian's getting married. And I was like, to who?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wait. And as I was walking up to my very
Christian
first...
Christian Huey.
Christian... Wait. Christian Huey?
Yes. Yes.
As I was walking up to my very first hump festival, I was like, wait, is my girlfriend marrying somebody else?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What is happening?
Jesus.
Now, technically, we had broken up 2 weeks
so
ago.
That, but. Yes. That's, and then yes. He moved to Panama.
But now he's back.
But now he's back.
But that's...
But he's no longer married. That's not nothing to do with Eeyore's birthday party or the porn.
No.
Or
it was a very confusing night.
There we go.
Sounds like it.
There we go.
Sounds like it.
So, hey, before we get to the song.
Yes.
I'm sure you're wondering, Brett.
Hey.
I love that you said all of these things and told these great stories. I wish that there was some way I could give you money.
That's right. For all the gargoyle information.
Yes.
Because every homeowner needs one of those in case they find
a thing
behind their door.
And they're like, what is this?
Hey, what the hell?
Has this place been around since the 14th century? The answer is yes.
Yep.
And then we're like, wow, this is a makeover that's about to happen.
In the suburbs of Austin?
Gargoyle. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, move that gargoyle. So anyway, give us money. That's all we're trying to say. Go to patreon.com/ two beers in and subscribe to us. You can give us money monthly, and we would love that. And it would help pay for whatever it is that we're doing. In fact,
batteries.
Yep, and we're getting low on batteries again. Okay. So, yeah, do that. We would love for you to be part of it. There's even a tier level where we'll make you one of our producers. We would mint your name on air. Please do that. So, that being said, also you can subscribe and please tell your friends.
Yes.
For God's sake,
please.
Let's get some people on here.
Don't keep this show to yourself.
No, we're fun. We're delightful. So, yeah. So, to close out the show, because it was...
Actually, it's tonight. The Pink Moon is tonight.
Well, it just so happens we have a song to go with it.
Yeah.
What's funny about this song is I never knew what the lyrics were to this song.
Yeah.
Until I played it while I was getting it moved on to the device.
And really, there's only one verse.
Right.
And then a chorus.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. And Nick Drake, I mean, oh my God, what a story. He died at age 26.
Yeah.
Back in 1974 from an overdose of antidepressants.
Wow.
He was signed to Island Records in 1969. All of his albums tanked. So he was very, very depressed. He went and recorded this more intimate sort of album. And it really didn't, this song in particular really didn't get popular until 1999 when VW used it in an ad campaign.
That's right.
For the Cabrio convertible. And thanks to that, his slim catalog of albums are now selling millions.
Fantastic.
So it's sort of an ironic, sad story, but let's enjoy Pink Moon.
There we go. So before we do that, I would just like to reiterate that my name is Brett Weaver, and I've been glad to be here talking to you, and I've been drinking a gin and tonic with a splash of Angostura bitters.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard, enjoying a dank meme sour.
Mmm, and that's Doug over there.
Hey.
Yeah, I've been enjoying a Carajillo.
Sure you have.
Hey, I can actually say it.
Hey,
all right.
that's what'll happen after one Carajillo.
So go to, if you hear this, go to Eeyore's birthday party, and we will talk to you next time.
See you at the porn.
I saw it written and I saw it say, the Pink Moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. The Pink Moon, gonna get you on the Pink Moon. Bingham Moon is on me.